Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to, last Wednesday night, we talked about visiting with God. Prayer is really visiting with God. It's not us just talking to God. It's God listening to what God has to say. It's a conversation. God really wants to communicate to him. And sometimes there's an art to learning how to listen to God and how to hear what he's saying. But he delights in communication with us. And you know, sometimes I think he's saying, I was just wishing you'd ask me that. You know, it's just like, I really want to tell you things, and so I'm waiting on you to ask me. Hallelujah. And the most powerful life is one that combines the word, reading the word, with a continual dialogue with God, and just talking to God every day about every little things, big things, whatever coming on, just to visit with God throughout the days. And we're going to look at, Christina, can you do the transparencies? Somebody, we're going to look, our key scripture tonight is from Habakkuk 2, 1 and 2. We're going to do just a little bit of review, and then we're going to go into a different type of questions tonight that we're going to be talking to God about. Everybody's going to be needing a notebook, so if you don't have one, we have some extra notebooks and pens here with us. So if you need a notebook and pen, just raise your hand and Calvin will get one to you. Okay, our scripture for scripture is Habakkuk 2, 1 through 2. And it says, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart, which is a lookout tower, and watch to see what he will say to me. And when I answer, and I will answer when I'm corrected, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. So we have to pay attention on purpose to God. We have to listen to God on purpose and watch what he will say to us. And then it's important when he does speak to us that we write it down, because sometimes it'll just be a word or a sentence, but if we write it down, then it's later, as we're reading back, it's like the puzzle pieces coming together. He said this and this and this, and they connect, and then we, you know, the picture comes together, his will comes together, and it blesses us. And our next scripture is Proverbs 3, and we're going to read 5-7 in the Message version. And it says, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. Run to God and run from evil. So I just love that. Listen to God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one that will keep you on track. And so listening to God helps keep us on track. Some keys in hearing God's voice is, when you sit down to pray, have a notebook with you, have a journal or a notebook with you, and be ready as you're talking with God to write down what he puts on your heart. So have a notebook, and it's good to choose a quiet place. Find a place where there's no distractions, like early morning, late evening, but somewhere where you're not going to be having the phone ring and just a whole lot of distractions. Find a quiet time where you can just spend time with God in his word, but also in prayer with him and communicating with God in prayer. And just be still and begin to relax your soul. When we're relaxed, we hear better. You know, if we're uptight and desperate or whatever, you know, it kind of puts up a wall and we don't hear. All we do is talk. But when we will relax in the presence of the Lord and relax our mind and relax our body, and it's just like when we come to prayer, a time of prayer, it's like cleaning the screen of our mind, just putting our focus on God and letting him just wash our thoughts, wash us, and it just refreshes us. hallelujah when we come into the presence of the Lord, and it's important to come correctly. Psalms 104 says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name." Worshiping God, coming before his presence, it brings him on the scene. You know, when we come worshiping him, we recognize his power, his greatness, how big he is. When we worship God, we just says, "God, you are the one that made the world and everything that's in it. And there's nothing impossible for you. You can do all things." And when we begin to put our mind on the mightiness and the bigness of God and how great he is, the things that to us personally seemed impossibilities, all of a sudden is nothing compared to how big God is and that he can do all things. And so worship is a good place to start. And then watch and listen. The word says, "My sheep know my voice, hear my voice." And so we are his sheep. You know, we are his followers. We are his sheep. So we do hear his voice. And like Habakkuk said, "I will stand and set myself to watch and see what he'll say to me." Remember when the Lord called Elijah aside to pray, and there was lightning and there was thunder and there was an earthquake, but it said Elijah heard the voice of God as a still small voice. And so when you're listening, don't expect like a bolt of lightning, because it doesn't usually come that way. It comes like a dove landing. It comes softly and gently. You know, sometimes it's just an impression. Sometimes a scripture will come up in your heart, or you'll have a mental picture of something, or you'll just hear like a still small voice speaking to you as you become quiet and are focused on the Lord. And then it's important to write down what you hear. And when you're in the listening mode to God, it's not the time to analyze what you hear with your mind. Just listen to your spirit. Listen to the things that God drops in your heart. Later on, you can go back and correct your spelling, or you can compare it to the word and find scriptures for it. But at the time of your listening, just write what you're hearing. Write what you're seeing. And don't get your mind in the way. Don't let your own thought process mess up what you're hearing. Just listen and write it down, and then later go back and compare it to the words and find scriptures that go with it, and correct your spelling if you need to, or if you wrote it funny, you can rewrite it. But it's important just to listen quietly and write down what you heard. Last week, we focused on our personal communication with God, our family needs. Tonight, we're going to shift to searching our own souls and seeing what's my passion and what is God's passion. What is God passionate about? What does he care about? And so we're going to do kind of the same as we did last year, but we're going to change gears a little bit. When we're born again, there were dreams and plans and purposes that God dropped into our spirit. He has a plan for us. He has a good plan for us. He has a purpose for us. He wants to use us for his glory. He wants us to be fulfilled and blessed. And so it's important that we listen to him to follow his plans. Hallelujah. Because he does have a plan. And so right now, we're going to go into a quiet mode. We're going to just be quiet for a moment and begin to relax and set our focus on the Lord. And then we'll go into some questions that we're going to ask the Lord. But Father, we just come into your presence. We invite your presence into our hearts, and we just put our mind on you right now, Father. Just imagine that Jesus is here with you. He's walking up and down the aisles. He's here to meet with us. Uh-huh. And we are his sheep, and we do hear his voice. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, the first thing that we're going to ask ourselves, and listen to your what's inside of you, the real you, your spirit. What are the things I really love to do most? What is my passion? What am I passionate about? And write down at least three things that you love to do, that you're passionate about, that just you enjoy. Okay, like we did last week, we're just going to share some, if you want to share some of the things that you're passionate about, you know, what do you love? And so if anybody would like to share what you wrote down, that would be awesome. Okay, Norm?
Everyone knows I love to travel. I especially like to do mission trips in other nations. I love to be with my family, friends, and I love to tell people what Jesus did for me.
I'm really passionate about praise and worship, or singing, about fellowshipping and being with friends, and the third would be prayer.
Recognized.
Yes, good.
So the first two are having to do with others and friends, spending time with others and just hanging out and helping friends, like, I don't know, going through scripture together, or are you having a hard time? Like, let's kind of talk about that. And then thinking about purposes for things, that one was kind of surprising a little bit. But, like, what's the greater vision behind stuff that we experience and that we see in everyday life and that we do?
Amen. Anybody else want to share what you're passionate about? Hallelujah.
He's put in me, I would say, just recently. I like building and creating things, and I think it has something to do with my appreciation for God creating things. Spending time with my wife, love spending time with her, enjoying God's creation.
That's neat. Hallelujah. Anybody else want to share? Hallelujah. No. People know my passion, but I have a passion to see a revival in Douglas compared to Acts chapter 2, where multitudes are saved, where there's signs and wonders and miracles and just amazing things happen. And I have a passion to see that. I have a passion for giving to promote the gospel, and particularly in places where people have never heard about Jesus or heard the salvation story. If I can send Christmas, if I can send someone to do Christmas programs or VBS programs or go preach in places where the gospel has not been heard, that's a passion. I always feel like it's not fair for us here in the United States to hear the gospel over and over and over and over and over again when there's people that have never heard it. That's a passion in me. And a passion in part of giving, too, is people that's on the front lines, people that's in hard places, in new places, preaching the gospel on the front lines. I love to get behind them and help them. That's a passion in my heart. And I loved studying and teaching God's word too. So those are some of my passions. Now, our next question, I want you to ask God, how do you see Douglas, and what are your desires for Douglas? Ask God about what his heart for Douglas. Okay. I think signals are still coming through. Some people are still writing. Okay, what did God speak to your heart?
Well, first of all, I take this as a challenge because I realize that whatever God speaks to me has to be filtered through my brain. But the way it comes out on the other side of the filter is I believe God wants Douglas Christians to stop judging one another and just live and let live.
Amen. Who else heard something for Douglas?
When I asked, how do you see Douglas, what I felt I heard was broken but on the mend. And what are your desires for Douglas? for hearts to be touched and lives restored, for breakthrough and change and outpouring of love, spiritual love.
Yes, amen. Hallelujah. Anybody else have something to share?
So the two big ones that I heard that he wants for Douglas is reconciliation and to have their hope restored.
Amen.
I felt in my heart, we were meditating harmony and unity of all the churches in Douglas, but not only Douglas, but also Agua Prieta and some of the churches, Bisbee and the surrounding pueblos and villages. Just harmony and the churches working together, and, you know, just as one force.
Amen. Yes, I believe that too. Who else has something to share on God's heart for Douglas?
I guess being on the outside looking in, it's different for me, but I really think that God wants for Douglas the same thing he wants for our community in Pennsylvania. One of the things that our church is really working on is getting religion out of the church. In spite of the fact of being a good church, there's still religion. And religion kills everything. God can't work. And I think that it's the same here as it is there. There's religious spirits that need to die. But I think in this church, and knowing the leadership and knowing what you want, I think you're going to get it. You know, right now, all the news in the world is bad news. We're financially in trouble in America, and people are scared to death. But in my heart, I believe, I'm not going to say any of that's going to change, but there's going to be a move of God. And there's going to be a move of God because of the trouble we're in. People turn to God when there's trouble. That's what God wants in Douglas. That's what he wants in Everett, Pennsylvania. And I believe it's going to come.
Yes, I do too. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody else want to share what you heard about Douglas? Hallelujah. You know, I just think this is fun practice sessions, listening to, you know, what you hear the Lord saying. Okay, I heard when I asked God this, I've chosen Douglas as a place to extend my mercy and loving kindness and manifest my power and my glory. Our next question is to God is, what is my part in showing your love to the people here? What is my part to show your love to the people here, the people of Douglas? What's my part to love the people here in Douglas? Okay, what is my part in showing God's love in Douglas? Anybody have an answer you want to give?
It goes right back to my favorite thing to do. Tell people what Jesus did for me. You know, if you really study the Bible and you study the people that Jesus said, go tell them what I did for you. Most of the time, the telling story was greater than the miracle. But we always look at the miracle. But people would come to Jesus when they would tell. And if you find places in there where thousands came to see Jesus because one man was healed. And he said, you know, it's wonderful to preach and teach, but it's something about telling people what Jesus did for you makes it real. I think that's what he wants for Douglas, and he wants it in Pennsylvania too.
Man, I agree with that. There's a power in the testimony. There's power in personal testimony. It increases people's faith. It brings God real. It makes him real right here, right now. Hallelujah. Amen. Anybody else?
I think for me, and I've actually heard somebody use this with me before, is showing people that they are so much more valuable than they consider themselves to be, that they're worth so much more. And I wrote down here, increased value of worth or worth equals increased love shared.
That's very good. Kind of the same message has been coming up in my heart, that that we will see people as God sees them. And sometimes we see the surface problems going on in their life, but we need to be able to see God's purpose and plan for that person and where he wants to take them. And one definition for prophecy is not to find the dirt in somebody and uncover it, but to find the gold and bring it to the surface. And so find what's good and find the purpose of God and the good things that's in a person and help bring it to the surface, that they see their potential. Hallelujah. Any other?
I had heard something really similar to that. What I'd heard was to judge spirits but not people, to love the sinner but hate the sin, and just to love, just about loving people and showing God's mercy.
That's good. Amen. Yeah.
I've always felt like the Lord has required of me to be steadfast and stable and just be the same. I mean, people either like me or they don't, but it doesn't matter. They know who I am, what I am. Just be the same. Be me. And also, I've feel strongly about being spiritually sensitive. I want to be sensitive to what God's doing in the spirit and in the spirits of other people.
Amen. Anybody else? Okay, the next thing I want you to ask God, bringing the kingdom down to right where we live today, God, is there a person or a family you want me to take as an assignment in prayer, to pray for that family or that person and then show love to them in different ways as you know, as it comes, as the Lord leads you? Do you have do you want to assign a family or a person to me to pray for and reach out to? So ask God if he wants to give you somebody to pray for. You boys, there's a youth group downstairs. If you want to go down there, that would be good. You can just go down. Just push the door open and go down. They can't get the door open. There. Yeah, Peter. Okay, they made it. Okay. Did you hear a name? Did you hear somebody that the Lord wants to give you as an assignment? And if you want to share that name, okay, if it's just a personal assignment that you got, well, that's fine too. But if you want to share who the Lord gave you as an assignment right now to pray for, okay, let's just keep that one personal because that's our assignment. The Lord put somebody in my heart that everybody would know if I mention somebody that's in the public eye and everybody knows that the Lord's given me this person as an assignment to pray for them. You know, and God, Jesus said that he died for every person. You know, his desire is for everyone to come to him. That's his heart, his desire for everyone, no matter what kind of life they've been in, no matter where they've been, what they've been doing. God's purpose is to draw all men to himself. And just as a personal testimony, I was so blessed on Saturday during the funeral here when the mayor of Agua Prieta was here and she got up and talked. And she has a relationship with God because of Jose and Mary Lou ministering to them through the years. She has accepted the Lord as her Savior. And, you know, in some of the books we've read and stuff, you know, they've had a bad reputation as being part of the cartel in the past and such as that is hearsay. But to see her heart toward God and she's truly born again and loving God right now, and that just blessed me. You know, it's just like God's desire is for everyone. Everyone. I know a few months back, they had a big march for Jesus in Agua Prieta. I think 42 churches participated, and they met together at the city hall, and the mayor publicly gave the city of Agua Prieta to Jesus and said, "I give and I invite you to come, Lord Jesus, and I present this city to you. I give it to you." The mayor of Agua Prieta presented Agua Prieta to the Lord. And I thought, well, that was a good symbol and all. But when she came and got up and I realized she has a relationship with God, she meant it. She meant it. It was real. And that blessed me. And so no matter who God puts on your heart to reach, it's just like his desire is for all men. All men, all to come to him. And so sometimes the people that God puts on our hearts to love and pray for, well, kind of a surprise, like, that person, Lord? You know, it's like, ooh, wow. But they're part of the people that God loves. Okay, our next question. What is the greatest need I see in the church? How, and it's a three-part question. What's the greatest need I see in the church? How am I motivated to see it fixed? And how can I make a difference? No, in our church, in this church right here, what's the greatest need I see in our church? How am I motivated to help fix it? What is my part? Hallelujah. How can I make a difference? Okay. Does anybody have any answers? What is the greatest need I see in the church, and how can I make a difference? How can I help fix it? Okay. Does anybody want to share what you heard?
We have a pattern and an example in the book of Acts of church growth, and one scripture says the Lord added daily those that would be saved. And I'd like to see that. I'd like to see daily salvations. So we need new people. And what could I do to help? Well, I could be more people friendly. It'll take a miracle, but I believe in miracles.
Amen. Hallelujah. Anyone else want to share what you heard? I think when we have visitors come and people come, we need to truly love them and value them and just have a feeling toward them that they are the most important people on earth, that they are special, that they just, God has a special place for them, a special love for them, that treat them like it was the president coming in. You know, treat them special. That they truly are special to God. Whoever they are, they're special. And I think that we need to see every person as special. Hallelujah. Anybody else have anything to share on this one? Reuben.
I think it was John Wesley that said, Lord, I teach me when to get out of the way. I think it's, I want to find it. I have it home. And teach me when to respond to what you want me to do. I want to be used by you, and I want to be put aside by you so long as I am in your will. I'll have to find that, but it's what came up in my heart.
That's good. I like that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. Anybody else hear something?
Barbara, I think you hit it as far as, I think there's so much judgment in church. And, you know, being 72 years old, I have to admit I have a hard time looking at some of the things people do to themselves. You know, it's everyone today has tattoos all over the place and all these things. And you look on that, no one did when I was a kid. Now they all do. And you're quick to judge that. And just to give an example of not judging, Gene and I one time were traveling and we were taking some money to a traveling evangelist. He was visiting a church in another state and we surprised him by being here. But that night, two men came into service and they were total tattooed. And they sat back and he preached a message. Now this man is huge. He's like 6'6", 300 some pounds. He is one big man. And he preached, his ministry is called Sledgehammer Ministries because he doesn't pull any punches. But anyhow, all of a sudden, he just looked at these two guys and he said, "Don't you be ashamed of your tattoos." And he rolled up his sleeve and he was an ex-Marine and he had a big tattoo on his arm. Those two guys got saved that night. And that is the whole thing. You know, I have to admit, I used to hire people. I was trained in interviewing and I used to look for holes. Guys come in and you did because most of the time, working where I worked, you weren't allowed to wear jewelry. And these guys that come in, they wouldn't have any on. But all the holes were there. Once they came to work, they're going to start wearing this stuff, and they're going to fight you about taking it off. So we ignored them because we didn't want to get in that. And I know I was prejudiced when I was doing it now. Back then, I didn't know that at the time. But I think that's one of the biggest things that's keeping people out of the church. Some people don't want people to come in church in short pants. They, you know, they just don't want them in their church. And I think you hit it on the head. It's this judgment thing. You know, they're all God's people. And I think that once we get past that, I think we'll have people in the churches.
Amen. Anybody else? Okay. Now, our last question is going to be the same thing, and I want some answers on this one. What's the greatest need I see in our community in Douglas? What's the greatest need I see in our community, and how can I make a difference in my community? Okay. Does anybody have an answer? What's the greatest need I see in our community?
I put relationships, making and expanding social circles. Like how in Acts, when all of that was happening, they were a community and they were together all the time. And sometimes it feels like, you know, we make friends, and then we have our social circle, and then that's it. And it's like, you know, I have neighbors that I've lived there for 7 years, and I still don't know their name, you know, or much about them. And how I can make a difference is working on being more open and friendly. And as far as, like, social circles, like, connecting people that I meet with other people that they would fit with and helping to build and extend relationships.
Yeah, I think that's really good.
I should have raised my hand first, because I think I don't think we're the only ones who notice that as being a need and something that needs to be worked on. A light went off in my head, and I had a revelation. God didn't put me in public relations because he knew that's what I was good at. He put me in public relations because he knew I needed to get stronger at it. I work in public relations. I work as an outreach coordinator, and I consider myself a very private person. And I've reflected on that manner, but having this question being posed tonight, it made me realize God didn't put me in public relations because he knew that was my strength. I have a great understanding of it, but in all application, it is something that that is how the kingdom of God is built. And what God had given me to write down was, I need to be more public. I need to be in the marketplace more and putting myself where people are, instead of being at home by myself or with my wife, or being, as Nina said, with the people I already know and I'm most closest with and most comfortable with. I need to put myself, as Jesus did, in the marketplace. Where the people are, where the people need to be reached. And sometimes that means going and hanging out at Walmart or something, or whatever it may be, if it's going to the park, or being where the people are. And the last thing was, make myself readily available to others. And that may just be, if I happen to be in town and I haven't seen somebody in a while, stop by their house, their home, see how they're doing, and say, I am here to serve you and help you in any way that I can, and letting people know that I'm here to serve. And I think that's something for myself personally and for the community as a whole that needs some work and strength.
Amen. Bill Johnson says, and he started doing this a long time ago, he goes into businesses just to browse sometimes, just to be there, to carry the presence of the Lord into that business. And every time before he goes in, he'll just stop and quietly say, Holy Spirit, I welcome your presence, be upon me, love through me. Let your presence, as I go in, let your presence go with me. And people will come up to him when he goes in. They'll come up and just start talking, and he'll just be able to love them. There was a kind of a New Age type health food store that was full of all kind of foreign religions, and they just embraced everything, and it was in all of their literature. And he said, I had an assignment there. I would go, God gave me an assignment to go there, and he said, I would just go there every week, and I would just walk around, and I'd look and browse, and I'd always buy something. And he said, but I would carry the presence of the Lord. And the owner, after several months, the owner came to him and said, I don't know who you are, but every time you come in this store, the atmosphere changes. And the owner recognized that a presence came in with him and the atmosphere changes. And the owner that just sought God and everything and weird stuff, he recognized there was something different about him. And he has a lot of testimonies about it. Something that happened recently that was an awesome testimony. The family that came Sunday, that's the tall, tall, tall ladies, and they were set back here, the new family that had never been here before. About a month ago, Maria McGinnis was in Walmart, and her husband was waiting for her outside. They were going somewhere. He was in a hurry. He says, hurry now. But she was back by the milk, and she saw this lady, the older lady, over near her, and the Lord said, go talk to her. She says, God, Mike's in a hurry. And the Lord said, go talk to her. So she went and visited with her and said, you know, I'll be praying for you. And can I pray for you right now? And she invited her to church and just took time to love that lady. And so Sunday morning when they came in and Maria came around and saw who it was, she was elated. She was just elated. That lady had come because she just took a few minutes to go and talk to her and love her. And so that was just neat. She and she was thrilled. She was just thrilled about it. God laid something on her heart. She did it, and there was fruit. And those ladies told me Sunday morning, we'll be back next Sunday. We loved it. They just loved it. Amen. Anybody else? Hallelujah. It's time, yeah.
One of the biggest things I think it can do for the community of Douglas is bring all the churches together. Just an example, some years ago, our pastor started an organization called Harvest Net, and it's totally non-denominational. Our church is independent. The organization itself is not to make a denomination. It's just churches praying for each other and help each other. And we have Amish churches, Mennonite churches in this organization. We have churches in England. We have churches in India. We just connected with 20 churches in the Philippines, just joined our nation. And it's all about praying for each other. Our pastor is the head of it. He's not like the president of the universe here. He's just in it for purpose of prayer. And what it's done in Effort of Pennsylvania has brought the churches together. And now, like if you want Bible training, you can go to any one of these churches. They'll have different ones, have different classes they teach in these ministers. Sometimes they'll come to our church, speak, our pastor can theirs. But our community is really coming together. I think we're going to have an explosion. And a week before we left, a minister was in the area from Ireland, an evangelist, and they brought him in our church, left him speak. It was so awesome. Gene and I stayed for the second service. I am serious. It was powerful. And I just think that the biggest thing in the world, I don't think we're going to do anything for Douglas or Effort of Pennsylvania if the churches don't gather. And I'm reading a book. Alan Vincent's wife wrote a book about their life in India. And you know that in India, when Alan was over there, Alan was there with a job working. He was a minister in ministry. But they threw all the denominations out because they said, you're dividing everyone. And that's what's going on. If you can make a community work together in the churches, then your community will be successful. If not, you're always fighting it.
I believe that's really a key to work with other people in our community, other churches. Honor those churches. How can we serve you? How can we bless you? Have the right attitude towards them. You know, it says the meek will inherit the earth. And so how are we going to inherit Douglas? We're going to be meek and humble toward one another in our community and in our churches. And we're going to, you know, work at building the kingdom, not building our church, and not putting up walls, not being competitive, but just how can I serve you? And I know in our prayer time, we spend a lot of time earnestly seeking God and praying for different churches as God brings them up. And sometimes there'll just be a particular burden for a certain church, and we'll just not even know why, and we'll begin to pray for them and pray for ministers. And I know a while back, the Lord, one morning in prayer, we were praying for Amistad Christiana and the pastors. I just said, I don't know what's going on with them, but we just spent a long time that morning lifting them up, praying for them, and I hadn't seen them in months. And then the next week I ran into them at Food City and said, we were praying. God laid you on our hearts to pray for last week. What's going on? And they says, we're really having a problem with immigration. We were here on a temporary visa, and they're wanting to send us back. And he said, we're really wanting to, we feel called to stay here and continue to pastor and work here in Douglas. And we wrote a letter for them, and I believe they got the clearance to go ahead and stay. But they were having a serious need right at that moment, and they were just so blessed that God had put them on our hearts to pray for. I mean, it was real to them. You know, they're listening, and the Lord has done that with different churches at times, just put a burden on us to pray for them. And as he did, you know, then there was a need. And when we were able to communicate it, it just draws your hearts together. You know, they know these people are for me. They're not against me. Amen. Well, our class time is up, and Amen. Lord, we just thank you for this evening. We thank you that we learn more and more how to hear your voice, how to respond to you, Lord, and how that we can ask you definite questions and receive answers from you, because it's your heart and it's your desire that we communicate with you, Lord. And we just thank you for this time in your word, in your presence. And Father, I bless this people with an increased sensitivity to your voice and able to hear your voice. And I just bless them with time, personal quiet time to spend with the Lord. And I just thank you, Father, that your blessings are upon us. Father, we have a lot of people in our church that will be traveling this week, and we thank you, Lord, that your angels go before them, bring up their rear guard, that you keep them safe from all harm, that you cause your light to shine bright about them, put a shield of light about them, Lord. Let them be in the hollow of your hand, under the shadow of the Almighty, protected, though things may happen around them, that every one of our family that's traveling this week will be kept safe and blessed in the name of Jesus. We thank you for it, Lord. Amen. Amen. God bless you.